Anyways, Ali Mohammed, tell us about this
Ali
guy.
Ali Mohammed is, I mean, the things, George, you have to admit, the things that I talk about, which can be completely documented in my books and on my websites and supported by documentary evidence, are fantastic enough, you know. In this case, and by the way, if you don't mind me telling people, if they're confused by any of this, if they go to peterlance.com, under the word terror, there's a timeline that's in my original book, A Thousand Years for Revenge, and people can follow along and identify some of the faces I'm going to describe in a minute. But
you do drop more names than most Hollywood stars drop about their friends, I'll tell you.
Yeah, and most of them are called Mahmoud, Mohammed, or et cetera, a variation on that. Anyway, Ali Mohammed is one of the most extraordinary figures in the history of the war on terror. He was an Egyptian intelligence officer. He speaks four languages, including Hebrew. He has a master's degree in psychology. He was in the Egyptian military, purged after the murder of Anwar Sadat by radical Egyptian military officers. There's some evidence that it may have actually been his own unit that did the job. In any event, in 1984 or so, he goes to work for Egypt Air for 2 years, where he learns all the air piracy counterterrorism measures. And then he's recruited at some point by the CIA, because after the bombing, as I mentioned, in Beirut and the Marine bombing and the embassy bombing, they were desperate to get Arab-speaking operatives. So they bring him in at some point, and according to the CIA, he blew his cover with the Hezbollah operatives in Germany. However, if that's true, and they disassociated themselves from him somehow, he was on a State Department watch list, and in 1986 he's able to get a visa, and he comes into America. On the plane on the way in, he meets an American woman whose name I'd rather not give at this point, and they fall in love, get married. He's married 6 weeks later, and he moves to Silicon Valley where she's living. He now is in applies for U.S. citizenship and actually joins the U.S. Army in 1986 into 1987. He makes sergeant 1 year. He goes in as an enlisted man, even though he's an officer, I believe, because he would have been subject to greater vetting as an officer. In any event, George, where does he end up? Fort Bragg, North Carolina, working as teaching Green Beret officers in the 5th Special Forces at the John F. Kennedy Special Warfare School, which is the heart of the U.S. military's black operations. Delta forces there, et cetera. And what's going on at that point in the mid-80s? The secret war in Afghanistan, where we are helping the Mujahideen rebels in the war against the evil empire. Secretly, the CIA is funding up to $3 billion in aid. The Saudis are matching it reportedly dollar for dollar. So Ali Mohammed, even though he makes some disparaging remarks about Sadat and other things, is basically there and at one point tells his commanding officer that he's going to use his leave to go fight with the brothers, the Muj. And the Colonel Anderson says, no way, you're not going over there. We're not even there officially. What happens if you get killed or captured? We've got another Francis Gary Powers U-2 incident. Ali basically says, he goes anyway, and he comes back after his leave, and he throws two Spetsnaz belts. Now, the Spetsnaz, as you know, the elite, kind of the Green Berets of the former Soviet Union, and he has two belts that he claims he took off of dead bodies of men he killed, the enemy, and he gives Colonel Anderson one of these belts. Well, Colonel says he reported him up the chain of command twice. Nothing ever happened. By 1989, in July, Ali Mohammed is commuting to New York, where he trains the original World Trade Center bombing cell. He trains the man who killed Rabbi Kahane, Nosair, that I mentioned. He stays at his house, in fact, in Cliffside Park, New Jersey. He trains Abu Lima and Salema, convicted later with Yousef in the Trade Center bombing. Clement Rodney Hampton L., American black Muslim, convicted in a plot with Blind Sheikh Rahman to blow up the bridges and tunnels. And he himself, Ali Mohammed, George, in 1993, is the one that bin Laden sends to Africa to scout the African embassies. And he takes his own photographs and he develops them himself and later testifies that bin Laden pointed to the embassy, to one of his pictures, and said, this is where I want the suicide truck bomb to go. He was so trusted by bin Laden that bin Laden used him to do all of his security when he moved in and out of the Sudan from Afghanistan and back in 1996. He trained bin Laden's personal bodyguard. He set up a number of the terror camps in Khartoum. He literally is the man who wrote the terror manual for al-Qaeda. And while this was going on, from at least 1993 to 1998, George, he was an informant for the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
But it sounds like he only told us what he wanted us to know.
Well, that's my contention is that he gave them the San Francisco office that he interacted with and the Sacramento office in San Jose. He gave them Mexican coyote smugglers. He threw them some crumbs for his bona fides, but he's learning our entire playbook in Al-Qaeda while he's giving them next to nothing, in my opinion. Now, you know,
because he could have given them the big stuff.
Well, look, here's the bottom line. It was later alleged in an affidavit by one of the FBI agents that was close to the African Embassy case. It was alleged that he actually did, in 1993, tell these agents of the existence of Al-Qaeda and basically say that Al-Qaeda was going to declare war against Saudi Arabia, that as early as 1993 he did this. Whether or not that's true, the bottom line is the Bureau kept this guy out there operational, and one of the things that he is connected to, George, if you can believe this, is the Black Hawk Down incident. I mean, in Somalia in October of 1993, the Bin Laden was the one who sent five cells in from Kenya that actually did that operation. Adid, the warlord that we saw in the movie, was stealing grain, but those helicopters were brought down reportedly by a relatively elite Al-Qaeda operation, and Ali Mohammed was tied to that. So, and how did he get there? How did he get to be in, you know, scouting in Kenya? He was actually captured in 1993 by the Mounties, by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. He was found in Canada waiting for an Al-Qaeda member in Vancouver to come across, to come in, and he was going to pick him up. And this guy, Marzouk, was a known terrorist, so the system worked. And the Mounties grabbed Marzouk and they grabbed Ali, and they sweated him for many hours. And then finally, at the end of the day, he wrote a number down on a piece of paper. He said, call this. It was New York FBI. They said, let him go. So jeez. This guy gets out and goes on to scout the African embassies and be connected in some capacity with the downing of the Blackhawks. And remember, Delta Force was part of that operation, and he served in Fort Bragg with Delta Force people. So this is a man who was clearly committed to the jihad, who believed in the Emir Bin Laden, who respected him and diddled, essentially, and snookered the FBI for X number of years. So finally, after the African Embassy bombing in 98, they call him back to New York, and he's so brave that he comes to New York and he goes testifies before a grand jury and you know, thinks he can beat it, and they arrest him shortly thereafter. But they hold him for 9 months secretly on a John Doe warrant. They don't want the media to know about this guy for obvious reasons. And they're negotiating with him. Now, what has he got in his hand of poker? He's got major faith cards, because he knows that they're not going to put him on the stand because he can expose the negligence of the Bureau for all these years. So basically, he refuses to cop a plea. They finally indict him in 99, and he ultimately pleas in October 2000, when I told you in front of that judge the story about the embassies in Lebanon. Well, I mean, why we get out of Lebanon. Anyway, he still has not been sentenced. I've spoken to people very close to him. He has not been sentenced. They're continuing to hold that over his head. We don't know where he is. He's the greatest enigma in the war on terror.
It is bizarre.